Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came and trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
You're in a mood today, are you?
Well, no, not really. It's right. Sunday morning. I'm always in a good mood on Sunday. I just got back from Mesa. I was down seeing friends of ours down there.
Yep. Was it warm down there?
Yeah, it was a gorgeous 90.
Shut up. I hate you.
It was awesome.
It's supposed to be nice today.
Well, I worked when I was down there. So
you did?
Yeah. Well, we went to Todd and Marcy's house, our friends down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped him put an electric fence in.
Aw.
And had to fix a toilet and some other things.
That was nice
but
of you.
I was paid real well in, you know, liquid refreshments.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I'm not complaining. Yeah, we had game nights, and they have their neighbor Lydia came over.
Yeah.
She's a Mesa officer. So, yeah, we had a blast.
That's awesome.
But we do every time we go down there.
Right.
It's great.
It was a quick trip, too.
Yeah, it was only 4 days.
Yeah, you went down quick and came right back.
Jackson,
well, we have a rigorous.
Grandson got to go with, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. We have a rigorous Life Matters schedule. That's why.
Right. Well, yes. I had the hand of God. You will be back, and
right.
Here I am.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey, a couple things I want to talk about here. We're going to talk to Alex Dahlstrom with Dogs on the Go. Brand new, I shouldn't say a brand new program, but kind of a new program, or Dogs on the Go at least is new. And they're in need of puppy raisers right now, which is. Everybody says, oh, puppy raisers, but we're going to talk to Alex in just a few minutes about that. But first, I wanted to start off the show with last hour, Philip and I talked a little bit about this, and I just want to kind of talk about it a little bit more. Winsome Sears, this African-American lady that won lieutenant governor in Virginia last mm-hmm. week, I'm here to tell you, keep an eye on this lady. She is going to continue to help lead our country for a long time to come. She's the new Virginia Lieutenant Governor. She went into the Marines as an electrician. After she got out of the Marines, she ran a women's homeless shelter for a long time. She got into politics, not a city council person, but you know, she kind of got into politics briefly, got back out of it, and then ran for lieutenant governor and won last Tuesday. And she is one of the most well-spoken, intelligent, kind, compassionate people you will ever see get into politics. I mean, she knows what she's doing and why she's doing it. And I am so happy that our country, that state saw what opportunity was in her. And I hope to see more women of color, of, you know, whatever,
right.
More women, strong women run for public office, because that's the kind of values that Mrs. Sears has is exactly what we need in this country right now.
Yeah, we know that from both sides.
Oh, too. Exactly.
Yeah, men, women, doesn't matter. Just
right.
Strong people that are dedicated to this country.
That have a clue.
Boy, has that been void.
Right. No kidding.
At least for the last year.
No kidding. Another follow-up I wanted to talk about was a follow-up to Sheriff Schmeling's announcement last week about the discrepancies in Racine County.
It's a nice way of putting it.
I know. I feel nice this morning. Then the governor, so he, through an extensive investigation, they found that there were some irregularities.
Cheating?
Yeah. If you could, you know.
I'm not as articulate as you are.
I told you were in the mood. at the one particular nursing home, which I'm sure that there's more, but this is
absolutely.
What they, there has to be more. But this is what they focused on. The governor came back. So Josh Call, our attorney general for the state of Wisconsin, has not made any kind of move to open any kind of investigation into this type of fraud, which is exactly what it is.
Well, it's because it exposes them.
Right. It's a felony. These are felonies that these people committed. The attorney general for the state of Wisconsin, of course, has refused to address the situation at all. The governor, however, Governor Evers, did address the situation and basically said to Chris Schmeling, the sheriff of Racine County, if you think that charges should be filed, file them. So guess what?
Yeah.
He did.
Good for him.
He referred the charges to the district attorney. Yep. Referred that for five of the six people on the Wisconsin Election Commission, and I don't know why the sixth one wasn't. I think the sixth one really kind of had been on record saying, I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should do this. And so that person didn't get charged. But the other five did have been recommended for charges. And they're felonies. These are serious charges. Well, but I don't know why our governor or our attorney general won't address this situation. I mean, I can guarantee you that they know who those votes were for, and if they were for the wrong person, they would have been all over it like
Absolutely. Stink
on you know
well,
what.
And that's why they won't address it, because it works against their agenda.
Right.
You know, wasn't there a statement made right after this came out about this is a fishing expedition or this is made up, or they were naysaying the investigation?
Right. So, so Sheriff Schmeling wanted the attorney general to conduct a statewide investigation. He has failed to do so.
And they won't.
So the charges are misconduct. It's the same for each commissioner. Misconduct in public office in violation of Wisconsin Statute 946.12, which is a felony. Election fraud, which is a misdemeanor. Party to the crime of election fraud, illegal ballot receipt in violation of the statute is another misdemeanor. Party to the crime of election fraud to solicit assistance in violation. And the second one that's the felony, the election fraud, is an election official assisting with violations in violation of Wisconsin statute. These are all basically, except for the first one, the misconduct in public office, there are statutes 12.13 and then sub statutes after that. So I tell you, when you have an attorney general that won't attorney general, generally attorney,
right,
that's a problem.
Absolutely.
And then I think that Evers, the message basically to the sheriff was pound sand.
Oh,
do it, figure it out
of
yourself.
Of course it was. The message to the city of Racine was pound sand when the city started to burn, and he supported the criminal activity down there.
You mean Kenosha?
Yes, Kenosha.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. The Rittenhouse trial, have you seen any of this?
I've been trying to keep up with it, but I got to be honest, I haven't.
Well, you were traveling too. So that's becoming very interesting, and I'm telling you right now, I have personally listened to this. I'm telling you right now, the prosecution has definitely presented some things that have helped the defense.
Right.
They are not very good at it. I have
friends that, well, you know some of the friends I have, and they're very intelligent when it comes to this. And they have told me that this is a defense attorney's dream.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
We
get started on it, we'll be here all day.
I know. We have our opinions on what happened and, you know, whether or not, you know, how Kyle got to the point that he was, and you can Monday morning quarterback it all day long with the fact that he's 17 years old. Should he have been there at all? Should
right.
his mom have brought him over state line? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, as a parent, no, I completely agree. But the boy shouldn't have been there. However, he was there. It wasn't illegal for him to be there. Just because you shouldn't doesn't mean
well,
you won't.
Well, nobody should have been down there.
Exactly.
To begin with. He was on the other side of it. But I will tell you this, and I had friends and a family member standing that line with those rioters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not protesters, rioters.
They were rioters, yes.
They're throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers. They're rioters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little emotional for me, but Kyle ended that thing that night.
That's right.
The Riders were being supported by lack of action in Madison.
Right.
When Eber said he would not send any help down there, Racine, Kenosha County, all the other agencies that went in to help were taxed.
Right.
They were at their limit. And again, I had a lot of friends on that line. But when Kyle shot those three people, that ended it.
Yep.
Then they knew it got real. That, not the shooting. I'm not supporting the killing of people.
No.
Okay. What happened, happened. The courts are going to figure it out.
Right.
But if there would have been a unified front between our law enforcement, our government officials, and if the National Guard would have got sent in earlier, that would have ended without all that property damage and all those people getting hurt and those three guys being shot.
Right. That's right. I mean,
that goes right up to Governor Evers.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. The relief for the city of Kenosha was not sent in when it was needed, which was before all of it started.
Correct.
If we would have just stopped it in the beginning.
Well,
because you're right, there's a big difference between protesting and rioting, and
right.
It very quickly turned into rioting, and it wasn't nipped in the bud, and you're right. So, but you're absolutely right. Kyle, that incident,
he
ended
it that night.
Boom.
It was like a ghost town.
Right.
That's what everybody told me. But this thing could have been handled from the get-go.
Yep.
Rather than Governor Evers saying, well, here is another example of police brutality and excessive use of force, if he would have said, it's an open investigation, we need to find out the facts of what happened, would there still have been an issue? Absolutely. A police officer shot a black man. But the facts could have got out there first about what had happened and why this went the course that it went.
Well, first of all, you know, like what you just said, a police officer shot a man. I don't care what color he was. He was in the wrong 100% with his actions and his behavior. It doesn't matter what neighborhood he was in.
He was stealing a car and he was kidnapping kids.
And when you've got a mom standing right next to you screaming, oh, my babies, my babies, my babies. You don't think that plays into it, which is what
absolutely.
She was doing?
I mean, plus, he'd been tased.
Right.
Three officers trying to physically control him and were unable to do so.
And had a weapon
in his
hand.
And then he makes a statement of, I'm going to get my gun. How are they going to react?
Right. Like, duh.
Yes. And you're right. Color should not matter.
No.
But it does now.
Well, right.
It is what it is.
But wait. Okay. Color matters there. But the squad, AOC and Ilhan Omar and the squad out there in Washington, D.C.,
right.
Color doesn't matter. They didn't even acknowledge the success of the new lieutenant governor. Oh, you mean red instead
right.
of gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly what I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The Kyle Rittenhouse trial, there have been things that, like I said, it's been interesting to see because there have been parts of the testimony on behalf of the prosecution that have really help the defense. I mean, it's just really obvious.
Right. I think people are going to be shocked when this thing shakes out.
I really do. I mean, he was in the wrong for some things, absolutely, but I
think he's going to pay the price for some of it, but
of
as far
course.
As homicides and stuff like that, I don't think so.
I don't know. It's
I don't think he committed them.
I mean, it's right there on videotape. Right there on videotape, so I don't know. But getting back really quick, too, also to the Racine thing, I have the website that you want to go to check and see if your parents or anybody voted that shouldn't have voted.
Yeah, we need to write that down.
It's called, it's easy, myvote.wi.gov. And if you want to check your parents and make sure if they're in a nursing home or incapacitated and should not have voted, or your own vote. I mean, check your own. If you didn't make it to vote and you voted, you need to tell someone.
Everybody should be doing that.
Yeah, you
absolutely
should.
Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you need to tell someone because it's illegal for somebody to have stolen your vote or put in your vote without your permission. And so this is where the sheriff of Racine County is going with this, that, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, for instance, Biden was given Wisconsin because he had a 23,000 vote lead. Okay, with something like less than 25,000 votes, between 20 and 25,000 votes. So he won Wisconsin. Okay, well, remember how I said last week?
Right.
It came out that there were 135,000
unsigned ballots
in this state. So this isn't about overturning an election, the last election. Nothing, you cannot do that now.
It's done.
It's done.
Right.
But going forward.
Yeah. These elections need to be done correctly because it's your guy that's suffering. Regardless of your political view, whatever, you know, my guy, your guy wins, it doesn't matter. If the election is tainted, it's tainted.
Right.
And it's not showing the true voice of the people.
Right.
And that's what the election's for.
And then your guy goes forward with a lack of credibility.
Absolutely.
Because look at the lack of credibility. Not just that President Biden has created on his own,
right.
but he walked into office with a lack of credibility because everybody's kind of standing there going,
he stole it.
Wait.
It was given to him.
This isn't right. Yeah.
Correct.
And so is he legit?
I don't think he has any credibility around the world.
Well, no. That's a whole other show. But I'm saying, you know, so it doesn't really matter whose guy it is. Like,
right.
if the tables would have been turned, our guy would have walked in there without. Credible.
Yeah.
We just have to fix this. And so I do strongly encourage, just check it. Just make sure.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Go on there and make sure all your information is correct, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just never know. The government makes mistakes all the time.
Yes, they do.
MyVote.wi.gov.
Everybody check
the votes. Yes, yes. And then, again, you have to call law enforcement. This is illegal. And law enforcement has to take your call and write a report on it.
Yes,
and
they do.
The more, and there's power in numbers. And if it happened in Racine County, it happened in Kenosha, Walworth, Rock, every other county in this.
Shining sea.
Right. So we need to make sure that the people that encourage people to break the law are held accountable, especially when it's our leaders and especially when it's something as important as an election and your vote. Like,
absolutely.
You have to hold that vote close to heart. That is yours.
Yeah.
You have to protect it. So. Anyway, just check it. MyVote.wi.gov. Coming up next, we're going to talk puppies.
This is going to be interesting.
It is. It is. Dogs on the Go. Alex Dahlstrom is joining us next. That's coming up right after the break. Stay tuned right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. All right, Tom, you have dogs.
Yes, a couple.
You have horse dogs.
I have dogs that you can get a hold of.
Yeah. Hey, I can get a hold of my dog.
I mean, with your arms, not your hand.
My dog gives me hugs.
Okay. I believe you.
Alex Dahlstrom from Dogs on the Go joins us this morning. Alex is a dog trainer and pretty much does everything. It's kind of like me around here. Like, I do lots of stuff and I clean the bathroom. So, right? Is that kind of what we do, Alex, when we're
basically
just
wherever we're needed?
Yeah.
You know, wear many hats. If we're needed in an area, we just jump in.
That's right. That's right. So, Tom, do you consider your dogs emotional support dogs?
My wife does. My grandkids do.
There. See?
For sure.
Oh, my dog is for sure has become my emotional support.
No, usually when I need emotional support, they don't want to be anywhere around me.
I'm the my emotional support for my own dog.
Oh, there you go.
So, I have a very emotionally sensitive border collie.
Oh, dear.
In all honesty, they are. We've always had dogs from the time I was a little kid. I can't remember any period of time that I didn't have a dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're always an emotional support because you're so used to them being there.
Yeah. I mean, they're family. I don't know. I mean, and I suppose there's emotional support cats, but cats really don't. No, they generally just tolerate people living in their homes.
Yeah, they get that leave me alone attitude.
I call mine squatters. You know, they basically just live in my house.
Yeah,
I provide all their needs, and when they feel like saying hello, they do. But
yeah. otherwise,
they
couldn't care less. So. But Dogs on the Go. Now, I had no idea you guys existed. I know you're not very old.
Right.
You and I got to know each other because you used to work at Lakeland Animal Shelter.
I did.
And so
it was wonderful there. They're a great place.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we still have Wet Nose Wednesday. As a matter of fact, that's where my dog is from. Little Rummy came in for a Wet Nose Wednesday morning, and then I couldn't make him.
They got you, didn't they?
They did. They finally did, actually, after how many years, right?
Yep.
So we decided to bring you in because you called and said you've got some stuff coming up and we were helping out with that. But then I got real curious about exactly what you guys do, and I am absolutely thrilled that you guys are local and that this is going on in our community. So Dogs on the Go provides affordable assistance dogs to people with physical and mental health disabilities. And right now you are focused on training and placing hearing assist dogs for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. Now, one of the things we talked about before we went back on the air was there's a big difference between emotional support dogs, therapy dogs, service dogs, and those certifications and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about the difference in those categories.
Sure. Yeah, there are, especially now, there are, you know, different types of dogs that provide a service for a person. So really what we started as was to train service hearing dogs.
Uh-huh.
And those are dogs for people who are deaf or have 60% or more, 65% or more hearing loss, and that's done by like an audiogram.
Of course.
Yeah. And then what they do is they alert their owners for sounds. So just kind of what you think they would do.
Right.
Someone knocks on the door, they go get their owner, they alert them, and then they go to the door. Or
sure.
We train them even to recognize their owner's name. So if you're living with a deaf person and you have to try to find them, you don't have to run all over and try to find them.
Right.
They are trained, obviously, for safety issues with fire alarms and smoke alarms or people at the door, doorbells, door knocks, you know, and alarms.
Telephones. Right.
Basically can get them to react to whatever sound that person needs, you know, in their life to make their life just a little bit easier.
Right, right.
And then, so that's the service part. And these dogs are trained fully to be, with the big, big differences is public access. And I'm sure people have heard about it and know about the difference. Our hearing assist dogs are trained to be public access service dogs, which means by the ADA, the American Disability Association,
mm-hmm.
They're allowed to go with that person into the public, into any public space, because they perform at least 3 tasks to help that person out in public. And they have to go through a series of training to make sure that they're appropriate for the public. They'll behave, you know, they have to be on their best behavior.
Right.
Sure, everyone has seen service dogs.
Of course.
Out, and they're, you know, you're not supposed to pet them, and they're focused, they're mm-hmm. working. That's, you know, a big difference is they have set jobs.
Right.
Emotional support animals. Those are animals that you can be your pet, can be a dog. You get like 50% of the dogs we bring in to train don't make it through the program. And that's essentially because, you know, it's not for all dogs.
No.
For other service, you know, dogs in for other disabilities, sometimes it's up to 80% don't make it through. So a lot of times we'll take those dogs and we can place them as an emotional support dog for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen them on planes or,
right.
You know, there's certain places they're allowed to go, but they do not have public access. So you cannot bring your emotional support dog into Walmart or into
right.
the stores because they may react inappropriately in
and
public
and
in to
trouble.
Other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's kind of the difference. We also have been working with people and training their own dogs, which is new.
Oh.
And something the dog service community hasn't done a ton of. Usually you get on a waiting list and then you're given a dog.
Right.
For some of our clients, we can help and do training sessions, and the dog can perform tasks for you in your home, but they're also not a public access.
Right.
Dog, but we can still teach them to do various jobs.
You're training the handler or the owner
yeah.
to train the dog.
Absolutely. It's just
you gotta
as
know
important.
What you're doing.
Yep.
Right. Right.
So after we train the dog and we have the client or the person ready, we'll go to their home, and it usually takes about 4 days, all day each day, and we'll work with the person and, you know, train them just as well.
Right.
And we provide support forever, you know,
right.
for as long as you have the dog. If you have any issues,
right.
you know, we're always there.
You know, that's funny you bring that up, Tom, because we have somebody who works here that her husband was a canine officer.
Mm-hmm.
And the canine retired, but he has seen my dog and, you know, whatever. And he has said things to me like, you're doing the reverse of what you should be doing to train him to do something. And you don't think about it, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, for instance, Rummy likes to bark when people cut. When he hears the ding, ding, ding of the door here, he just starts barking, which is fine, but not for here.
Right.
Like, you know, we can't have you barking like that. And so what do? I run and grab him and pick him up and say, no, 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 bad dog. And he's like, you know, when you pick him up, That's his favorite
that's
thing.
Kind of right. a reward. You're and, kind of rewarding him.
I'm like, I know, but exactly. I want him to be more.
Or if he barks, and then someone's like, you give him a treat, or you call him away and give him a treat because he leaves the door.
Right.
That's not what the dog's thinking. He's right. like, I just got a treat for barking
and
at the door.
You really exactly. want them barking when somebody's at the door, or
right.
somebody's in the driveway, or walking around the house. That's what they're there for.
I know.
They're
but
an alert
he's
system.
Not really, like, I don't really need him to do that.
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm good. Like,
I don't know. It's kind of apples
so
and oranges.
It is.
Here,
yeah.
you can't train a dog to act a certain way at home and then
True.
Expect him to be like a child.
True.
Don't do this in public. The dog's going to do what the dog's
is,
trained to
is
do.
My point is that I'm apparently not training him to do anything because I just reward all of his behavior.
Well, no, you're training him to do stuff.
So,
well, right
yeah.
stuff.
So what we train our dogs is to behave a certain way in public, but like Tom was saying, but that is also their behavior pretty much wherever they go.
Right.
You know, they have to be very attentive.
Right.
right.
And then they'll react to sounds that they're not trained on just because they're kind of used to it.
Right.
And so we use, you know, a variety of different dogs and it can really make a big difference.
So you have breed-specific functions?
Yes, because you know all dogs are different. All breeds are different. They're all bred for different reasons.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for a dog to adapt a dog, we always want to research the breed because not every dog is just going to be your, you know, happy-go-lucky golden retriever, perfect for a family.
Right.
Many dogs are
right.
not appropriate at all for a family
right.
life. So the dogs that we like to use are small terriers because they're high energy.
Oh.
They are very motivated with toys and treats. Like they really, you know, they like to work.
Easily
and basically,
bribed.
Oh, yeah. And dogs like to have a job. And
motivated.
So they have to be high energy enough and they have to be motivated.
We don't want to call that bribed. We call that motivated.
I'm
they're
sorry.
Easily motivated.
They're
they are easily
I mean
motivated. Herding dogs are also can make good service dogs.
Sure.
Because also they have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some breeds that are made for like, hunt like a beagle or a husky, probably they're just not bred for those types of tasks.
Right.
So we pick dogs based on, we interact with them, basically their energy level, how fast they recover, like if they're not too shy, they have to be pretty outgoing.
One of the things that you're looking for, though, is kind of like foster homes. For these dogs, or
essentially,
I know we don't call them. Are we calling them foster homes?
We call them dog and puppy raisers.
Ah, there you go.
Because a foster is kind of like they're holding it while they're waiting for adoption, but this is a little bit more involved.
Okay.
Because we're a small nonprofit, we don't have like a central location.
Right.
So what we do is have puppy and dog raisers who have potential service dogs in their home, and we will help work with them and train them as the puppy gets older, and that's usually for basic obedience. Even an adult dog that maybe was in the shelter.
Right.
We use a lot of shelter and rescues. We basically have shelter partners, and if we can, we'll get the dog from a rescue to
right.
train.
Right.
So, you know, they need some adjustment time. Maybe they need obedience, and we ask for a minimum of, you know, a 6-month commitment. Because usually for a hearing dog, it takes, you know, 6 months to maybe a year to have it completely trained.
Okay.
And so the person who would take the dog is basically just responsible and, you know, we're there constantly and in touch because we still have to train the dog and we provide everything. But, yeah, we definitely need more people. The only two things that really have to mention, we do have the application online and all of the information about what is involved to be a puppy or a dog raiser, but make sure that we do have to make sure people own their own home,
right?
And that their insurance policy covers
right
all
of
kinds
dog.
Of
right.
all things dog,
right?
Besides that, we usually will do, you know, a couple interviews and meetings and talk about what is involved. And some people, you know, they like having dogs, but they're not ready to commit, so they'll kind of help out for a little bit.
Right.
And that's definitely, we're in desperate need of more because we have several dogs being trained right now and several more we want to get trained. We have 2 people on a waiting list.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Which is, you know, not so bad. I mean,
right.
waiting list can be pretty bad.
Right.
But.
So how long is the commitment if you're going to raise a dog? And then what happens once the dog is trained?
Right. So the commitment's at least 6 months. For a puppy, maybe we're looking at closer to a year, just because puppies need that. They might not have some of the basic commands an older dog from, you know, a rescue or a shelter might have. So they might have to take, you know, a little bit of obedience. But then when the dog is ready to be placed with a client, you know, we just work on with the puppy raiser and the client and us. We all get together and work with the dog and trade information and make sure the transfer is easy. And it's not always easy. You know, it's hard to give have a dog for that long.
Right.
But, you know, it really helps because now we know what the dog has been like in a home situation this whole time.
Right.
As opposed to having a bunch of dogs in kennels and taking them out to train them and then putting them back.
And then putting them in a home.
Yeah. So now they, you know, they're going to be familiar with the home, being in the home life with all the sounds and the doors and the stairs. And
right. So is it families that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Does it matter if you have kids? Like,
no.
What are the
We've had puppy
parameters?
Raisers that have children. I mean, the dogs that we are looking to place or looking to train as service dogs need to be good with everything. They need to be good with cats, dogs, children, you know, any types of mobile devices. And what I mean by that is like wheelchairs or canes or of that nature. They have to be okay.
So the more busy environment you can get them trained in, the better off they're going to be once they go to work.
Right. And we've had them placed in homes with kids and, you know, and that actually helps because that helps with the socialization.
Sure.
So as many different environments as we can is the best. You know, I train the dogs. I'll take them on trains actually down in Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll go, you know, from like kind of in Woodstock, Harvard, and go from each stop. I've gone to the airport. Anything you think a person is going to do in their life, we try to at least replicate that one time just so that we've tried to.
So you find the dog, you find the client, you match the dog to the client, then the dog goes to the raiser and stays with the puppy raiser while it's being trained.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it gets all trained, then goes back to the client.
It'll go to the client for the first time. So the client doesn't necessarily has met or interacted with the dog yet.
Okay.
Because we try to, you know, keep it focused and keep the dog, you know, on the training. And for the client, it's important that they, you know, interact at the same time and meet each other and so they can bond.
But then you got to bring the client and the dog together and train the client.
Right.
Yeah, that's
because of the mannerisms of the dog and the commands and all that stuff.
And the client has to learn, and especially if we're training a dog for someone who's deaf or has hearing loss, we need someone in the family, too, that can also be the other person if, you know, they're looking for them and they call the person's name and the dog goes and gets the hearing person. So we have to train. Actually, we have to train the whole family.
Right.
So that's why we go there for, you know, 4 days or more. Make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Right.
Everyone understands this dog is a working dog. You know, they treat it as such. It's their pet. You can do all kinds of the same things.
But he has a job to do.
Exactly. He has a job. He's there for a reason. He has a job to do. And that's has to be his, like, number one priority.
Right. We're talking with Alex Dahlstrom from Dogs on the Go. So right now you're focusing really on hearing assist dogs or...
Yes, right now we're focusing on hearing assist. We do offer training right now for in-home. Like, we kind of do it virtually or we'll do it in person.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have somebody who has a dog who is deaf, and we've been working with her own dog to do some tasks so that she can do it at home. That's, like, one of those situations that where, you know, people are more wanting to use their own dog for service dogs, and that's not always possible.
Right.
But we'll still teach you training techniques and help you so that dog can still be of assistance in your home.
Right, right. Does having other dogs in your home like that prevent you from getting one of these dogs, or it completely depends on the dogs?
Every case is different.
Yeah.
You know, it depends how the dog is at home. So, I mean, preferably the hearing dog would be the only dog so that it wouldn't have other distractions.
Right.
Well, and you can train that into a dog, too, as a puppy by socialization.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys I know that are canine handlers, and their dogs are at home with other dogs.
Right, right.
Because they've been socialized. It doesn't always mean it's going to work.
Right.
Right, but you can go to dog parts, obedience classes.
Yeah, get them around other dogs.
Get them around other dogs, other people, other life situations.
We need homes to put these dogs in while they're being trained for the client.
That's correct. So we're really looking for people to help us, and they're going to help train too. They're going to help do basic obedience and get together with us. And I just want to also mention, if you're not in a position to take a dog in, I mean, this is a big commitment. So
that's
why we have an application. You have to really think about it. We do have other types of volunteer positions too, helping us just go out and socialize the dog, helping at our events, doing administrative work. So it's just not taking a dog into your home, because it's a big, that's a big ask.
So, it is.
Huge.
But
it is.
It's huge, but it's so beneficial. And, you know, what our organization really tries to push is that we're providing affordable service dogs.
Right.
The for-profit service dog industry has blown up in the past so many years. A lot of times that puts these dogs out of reach for people who are on Social Security disability,
right,
for seniors, for other people that may need these, you know, types of dogs and can't afford to do so.
Do you have any events coming up, fundraisers?
Right now, we have something coming. We have an event at McHenry College in January.
Okay.
But right now, the events are still pretty slow because everyone's still kind of, you know, not sure with what's going on. So,
but you guys are a 501c3.
We are.
So
we
donations are.
Donations are definitely
necessary.
And always needed. COVID, like many nonprofits, took a big hit with COVID.
Right.
People were just trying to afford to live. You know, it's hard to give money to anything extra when you need it.
When you don't have any.
Yeah, when you need it for yourself.
Right.
So we definitely need donations of money, and they can find a link on our website as well as our mailing address if they wanted to send a check-in. It's all tax deductible because we are 501c3.
Right.
So we're always looking for help that way as most.
The people that decide that they want to be a dog raiser, you cover the expenses? What do you cover for them?
We cover everything. So the dog will be fully vetted, which means, you know, it'll be spayed or neutered. It'll have all the vaccinations. We'll provide flea and tick, you know, remedies, as well as like heartworm, all of that. So it'll be, you know, ready to go as far as all the medical needs. It'll be microchipped to us. Mm-hmm. So if it gets away, you know, we know where the dog is.
Of course.
And we'll provide the food and, you know, all of the training tools. But any harnesses. So, we provide everything because you're providing your home. So we're...
Yeah, home and time.
Yeah, your home and time. Exact time is absolutely, I mean, you know, you can't, there's...
That's you can't put them in a kennel, take them out three times a day. It's not going
to
work.
Right, people have to be home a little bit more, and they have to be flexible to work with us when we need to get together and train together.
Right. No, I am amazed by your program and the fact that we didn't know, I had no idea.
Never heard of it before.
We started just in December of 2016 and then didn't really start getting, you know, that's when it was established. So it takes a couple of years just to work out, you know, the nonprofit. And then I was hired in, what year is it? In 2019. And then we were 21. Really starting to get going with it. And then COVID hit,
I know.
And then everything came to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
So dogs, and you know, that was, we had dogs that we were in line to be placed, and that had to be put on hold. So everything.
And it's a shame too, because everybody was at home.
I know.
Like, that'd be the time to really need a dog.
It really was.
Like
people would have been
what better
perfect.
Time?
I know.
You were already home. You could have helped.
But we couldn't.
That's okay.
Yeah, but you know, also the issue was you have to get the dogs and work with the different shelter partners, and they had their own, you know,
everybody
things
did.
Going on.
Right.
So with a newer, younger nonprofit, the first 5 years are pretty vital, and we've completely missed a year of that. So as many steps as we've taken forward, we had to take a little bit of a step back, just so we can keep our organization going and financially still
keep
going.
Well, and you know what? That's for the benefit of everybody, because if you guys can't do it right, then the dogs aren't going to be right, and the clients aren't going to be able to use the dogs, and then it's not just
and
a
then why
mess,
do we even
what's
yeah,
the point?
What's the point?
So you're doing it right.
It's very important that we know the people and the people know the dogs. The dogs are trained, you know, well for their task, especially because they're going to be in public.
Right.
So you have to have your dogs on the absolute best behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is why my dog will never be any kind of service dog except to me. Well, he's adorable. He even went to the vet last week.
Did you say he was a Chihuahua?
He's a Chihuahua mix.
Yeah, he's a...
He weighs 8 pounds.
He's good at dusting underneath the table in the studio.
Are you his person? Does he love you more than life itself?
Yes.
Yeah, they typically do.
Yes. And my husband. He's okay with my husband. He does, you know, he enjoys my... My husband was the one that said, if you get this dog, you're taking care of him. You're, you know, feeding him. You got to... And no. No, Ty takes him everywhere when he's traveling or whatever. Just, I won't let him take him like out of town overnight because then what am I going to do, right? I mean, who am I going to sleep with? And so, but yeah, he, but oh yeah, he likes to ride in my husband's great big Ford F-350. He sits up on the
dashboard.
Bobbles
his head.
No. I'm constantly kicking dogs out of my bed. Like, come on, can I just have I need some space.
We snuggle.
Because I am. Yeah, I've
but no,
dogs.
He sits on the console thing in the middle, like he's driving the truck, you know. And so he just sits right
maybe
next
fits
to
in a little cup holder.
You know, my big husband, right? Like my big old husband and this big old truck, and then he's got this little tiny dog in there, and it's funny. And no, he doesn't sit on the dashboard and bobble his head.
I had a vision.
I'm sure. But I love this program because, you know, there are people that need, like, extensively trained service dogs.
Right.
Like, to absolutely live.
Yes.
And, you know, you're doing that as well as the next level and the next level.
Right.
That provide comfort and security and safety. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and they're affordable. And that's part of the problem is that
right.
That's the
big driving force behind our program.
Right.
Is the big thing is it's affordable.
Right.
Or free, depending on your situation.
Right.
And we'll want to expand into other types of service dog areas, you know, as we go along. But, you know, even if you don't need a dog if you don't need a hearing dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have options. We still do provide training. We still help people, you know, with their dogs so that they can have well-behaved, trained dogs that, you know, make their life easier.
Right, right. And so do the dogs, are they utilized for children all the way up to elderly?
Yeah. Yep.
So
if a dog is trained to do a certain task, you know, that's their task.
Right.
And then they'll be trained with whoever they go,
right.
You know, whoever they go home with.
Right.
But, yep, that's the task that they know and they... And it's pretty amazing. You can always go on YouTube or somewhere to check out to see a demonstration. Not many people know what a hearing dog does.
Right.
And then when they see, you know, the training, like we do presentations and we do in-person and virtual for organizations, schools, anyone that wants to see, you know, what we do. And it's pretty neat to see, like, if I'm pretending I'm asleep and someone rings the doorbell and the dog comes and gets me, it'll wait for me to get up. It'll keep bothering me until I get
up. Right, right.
And then, you know, lead me to the door, sit, wait, look. So, you know, it's very cute, but it's also very special. And they love it. The dogs absolutely love it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they love to please.
They do.
They love having a job. I mean, that's a lot of their breeding is to have a job and they take it seriously.
Right. Alex, how do we get in touch with you guys if we want to be a puppy raiser? You know, just any general questions, how do we reach out to you guys?
The best way is to go to our website, which is www.dogsonthego.us. And on there you can reach us by our phone number is on there. But mostly if you want to reach us through email or Facebook, we do a lot of communication through Facebook, and you can find us just by typing in Dogs on the Go, you know, hearing assistance dogs. So that, you know, that's one way that we've been answering a lot of questions. And our application for the puppy raisers, as well as all the information for dog and puppy raisers, is also on there.
That's
so
awesome.
If you have any questions, you can call us or email us, and we'll get right back to you, you know, no matter what you're looking for, just information to donate,
yeah,
to be interested as a puppy raiser.
That's awesome. Yeah. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
It's
been a while since I was here. I was a little bit like, oh, I have to get that mode back on. I'm a little nervous.
You jumped right back into it. You're just perfectly fine.
Yeah, everyone was asking me, are you nervous? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm fine. And then I woke up this morning, I'm like, I think I'm a little bit nervous.
All you have to do is talk.
Yep, that's all you have
I'm
to do.
Super good at that.
Yeah.
Coming up next, more Life Matters right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
I think I know what we should call this segment.
This segment right here?
Yeah.
What's that?
I think we should start calling it, I have a question.
Well, you know, we usually have an answer.
Right. I mean, we can solve all the world's problems.
We generally do week by week.
Right. I mean, if people would just listen.
But yeah.
Whatever. Because I do have some questions today.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
So I have a question. What do you think about auto headlights?
They drive me crazy.
Okay, because.
What about auto windshield wipers?
Okay, I don't know anything about auto windshield wipers because I'm not so fancy. But these auto headlights. When people's headlights are on and they think that their headlights are on, their headlights are on, but their taillights aren't on.
Right.
Okay, people, stop using auto headlights because, like the last week, pouring down rain, all this stuff, people, silver car, foggy, can't see them. They think that their lights are on because right. The auto headlights
are on all the time.
Are on all the time.
Right.
And they're not because you don't have taillights. And so when I come up and rear end you because I can't see you, it's not my fault.
Well,
I know. I'm just kidding. I know.
I don't know if it's not your fault, but I understand what you're saying because you don't see them until
right.
It's too late, especially in the fog.
Right.
People who drive around in foul weather.
Right.
Wait, oh. Fog, rain, snow, whatever. Turn your lights on because you can't. Everything blends together and you can't see them. When I'm at the academy, I'm driving down the bypass around Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, it's amazing the amount of cars that just pop out of nowhere because
right.
No lights are on.
Right. I just don't understand it. And auto headlights has not helped things. It's not helped safety.
No.
Because that's great. Your headlights are on all the time, but you don't realize. Or at night, your headlights are on. I was driving home from Indianapolis last week. It was dark, right? Coming home, and people, I'm on I-94 coming up through Chicago and stuff. They've got their headlights on because it's auto headlights. Dave, it's dark. You've got no taillights.
Right. Still can't see you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, oh.
Yeah,
not a fan.
Frustrating. I'm not big on the auto stuff. We recently Amy got a newer car.
Mm-hmm.
And the salesman said to me, you need to come in here so I can show you how to run the park assist or whatever. The car parks for itself. And I said,
No,
I'll drive my own car. I'm not going to use the parking app or whatever it is. No.
No way.
No.
One
my
of the
parents
very
taught
first,
me how to drive.
Uh-huh. One of the very
like
first things my mom made me do was learn how to parallel park.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't need any kind of assistance. And if I'm going over a line or something, that's because I mean to.
Right.
Like, I don't need my
busy.
Car to tell me. We rented a car one time that had that. That had that alert when you go over the center line or you go or whatever and the steering wheel vibrates a little bit. I had to turn it off.
No. Do you have the brake thing? Amy's new Jeep has the brake thing where if you're getting kind of close to somebody, the alarm goes off
it
and it slams on their brakes.
Yeah, it had that too.
That was
I
my
had
first
to turn
heart
it
attack.
No, I had to turn it all off. I can't. No.
Yeah, no.
No, I drive
like
a Jeep, but it's a Willys. It's not a fancy schmancy.
Yeah, I just like to drive.
Yeah. I don't need somebody else to drive for me. But no, I don't like the auto stuff.
No.
Well, that, and it's just more stuff to go wrong. Like, if I had my choice, I'd still, like, roll the window down with the handle and not
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah, my
it's
yard truck's got a cranker. I like
uh-huh.
it.
Yeah.
So, got any other questions?
Oh, yeah, I do have another question. How do you feel about Vegas?
Yeah.
I know. I can go there for a couple days, but...
Yeah, I've been there twice.
Uh-huh.
And I had a good time both times, but it's not my destination thing. I'm not a gambler.
No.
I
yeah.
don't... I really don't care about all the lights and the glitz and all that stuff. That's just not me. I'd rather be out in the woods.
So you're not interested in buying the Mirage Resort and Casino? MGM.
Well,
Resort.
You know, maybe.
Yeah,
I got some money I can free up. No.
MGM Resorts is putting the Mirage Resort and Casino in Las Vegas up for sale, ending a 21-year ownership of one of the Strip's most famous properties. They announced it last Wednesday that they just don't want to invest any more money into the 30-year-old property, best known for its exploding volcano. They haven't said what the price is or if they have anybody interested. So basically what they're doing is they want to get rid of it because it's a money pit.
Yeah.
And they want to put more money into the other stuff that they own, which is like, what else do they own? Oh, they own about a dozen properties, actually, including the Bellagio, MGM Grand, and Mandalay Bay. They purchased it in the year 2000. So they've had it for 21 years. But, yeah, I think it's a...
Could not imagine the price tag on that building.
Oh, I know. Well, in 2019, MGM sold Circus Circus for $825 million.
Jeez. Yeah, and prices have gone up. But you know, Amy loves tigers and lions and panthers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So maybe she'll want to buy it so she can have a lion.
Well... In the yard?
No, she'd have to leave it there.
Yeah, because I don't think it's legal to have a...
I don't think Charlotte and Jean would like that very much.
Lion
have
in
a
the
lion
yard.
Walking around outside.
Right. Yeah, you should really check with your neighbors. But yes, she could have a lion if she wanted to out in her casino in Vegas if she... Yeah,
funny
all right.
Joke about stuff like that.
So you're not interested in buying okay, well.
I couldn't even afford to be interested.
No, I'm not interested either. My problem is that my husband and I have gone to Vegas many times, actually, for trade shows. That's the main reason why we go out there. We've never really gone out there for any other reason, but we've gone out there probably 7 or 8 times because of this trade show that he has to go to every year, and it rotates and goes to Orlando and New Orleans and Vegas,
sure,
and Atlanta. I won't go to Atlanta.
No, not your city.
No. Orlando, obviously, is close to my parents. New Orleans, obviously, hello. And Vegas, I will go to. But I'm upset with him because all these times we've gone to Vegas, the only thing I've asked to do is go to the live Tony and Tina's wedding theater thing.
Uh-huh.
And when you go, you're like a guest at the wedding reception. Like that's, you know, and so you're part of the, like everybody's
the whole
a part
big party
of the play. Right. And I want to go see that so bad. And he always says no. Yeah. And
I,
so.
You know what? I really can understand the no. I mean, I can understand you wanting to go. But I think you probably better go out there with a girlfriend and then go see it because I really am with Ty. That just.
But it's really funny.
Well, I think you should
like it's
go.
It's an Italian wedding, so it's all crazy and,
yeah,
you know, it's acting, so it's not real, so it's overly dramatic. And it's just hilarious, the bits and pieces that, you know,
well,
the clips that I've seen is
you
hilarious.
You and Ty and Amy and I will go to Vegas.
Okay.
And you and Amy can go to the wedding. Ty and I will be in the bar.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
After we get back from a motorcycle ride.
Whatever.
Because when I go to Vegas, I rent a bike and I go away from Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's some cool riding out there.
Yeah.
We had a
there
lot
is.
Of fun.
There is. I think he did that 1 year when I didn't go, maybe even before we were together. And it got really cold at night and the guys didn't have enough stuff.
Right.
So they went into like a convenience store or something and they bought a bunch of Saran wrap.
It works.
And wrap themselves with Saran wrap underneath their coats and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were perfectly fine.
And if you can't find Saran wrap, newspaper works good too.
Right. I was like,
yep.
You guys are geniuses. So yeah, he's done that. But he won't take me to see Tony and Tina's wedding. So.
Well, that's horrible.
I know.
But I don't blame him.
I know. Well, you're fired. So.
I knew it wouldn't last long. Hey, listen,
I'm just
month
kidding.
And a half, I think we're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing good. Okay, one more thing. A man who spent 3 months living in a secured terminal at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport instead of flying home to India, as he had planned, has been acquitted on a felony trespassing charge. So Cook County Judge Davis acquitted this man, I can't pronounce his first name, Mr. Singh, on the charge, this was last week, without his attorney having to mount a defense. He was expected back in court last Friday on an escape charge for allegedly violating the terms of his electronic monitoring while out on bond for the trespassing charge. Basically,
tell me he went back to the airport.
He did not breach or improperly enter secured areas. He arrived there like tens of thousands of arriving passengers do every day by stepping off a plane. And while we won't speculate on his motivation, he decided to remain in the secure area and made every effort to blend in as a passenger and an airline employee until his arrest. So he says he stayed at the airport because of the coronavirus pandemic had left him afraid to fly and that he'd been able to get by with the help of strangers who bought him food. So he was... in the airport from October until January.
There's a movie about that.
He lived in the airport. Yeah. But I don't think it's about this guy, but there was a movie about this, wasn't it?
No, this was a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to go back to India.
Well.
I'd rather stay in America.
I don't know why they acquitted him.
Probably because it's kind of hokey charges. If he's just hanging out in the airport and hasn't done anything wrong and people are buying him food and helping him survive in there, how is that illegal?
It's not. It says that the Chicago Department of Aviation determined that Singh hadn't violated airport regulations because he didn't enter the improperly... You know, he didn't improperly enter secured areas and stuff like that.
And he's at an international airport.
Right. So a friend of Singh's told the Tribune that he told her in text messages that he enjoyed talking to people at the airport about his Buddhist and Hindu beliefs on healing. And he says, I'm actually growing spiritually due to this experience, and I know I will come out stronger. He wrote to the friend in a text she shared with the newspaper. So, yeah. So he got arrested and he got acquitted on the charges that he was arrested for, which was basically living in an airport for 3 months, which is why you would want to do that. I don't know. Okay. But then the charge is violating his electronic monitoring in between the time he was arrested and going back to court. So that's the only reason why he's going back to court now. But again, how do you get by? I have a question.
I thought you'd get to it eventually.
3 months in the airport and nobody turns you in,
Well, I'm sure he becomes a little bit invisible. There's a lot of foot traffic. We have a hard time addressing anybody anymore because we're worried about offending people or violating some kind of rights they believe they have.
Right.
And to survive in that atmosphere, it's warm. You have water available. You have facilities available. Mm-hmm. And you have a huge target area for food and stuff.
I mean, you think about it, though. He stayed in the security area, which means he never went back out past security. So it's not like he ever had to come back in. He got off a plane and never left the hangar.
Yeah.
For 3 months.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Can you imagine living that?
No, I couldn't do it.
And how did he get a suitcase? He must have just had a carry-on.
I would assume. But people leave stuff behind all the time. We were walking through the Phoenix airport, and there sat on a pole by a post a cell phone plugged in. Nobody around it. People forget stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
That's easy.
But people?
Right.
Do they forget other people?
Well, no, but I'm just saying he can resupply himself.
Oh, well, that's true.
You know, stuff that people are leaving behind.
That's true.
So can I see it happening? Absolutely. Would I want to be that guy?
Can you?
No, I get bored too easy.
Can you imagine?
No.
Like, where do you sleep?
Especially
you have to sleep
in a
on the chairs.
Strange country.
Well, and that's what I want to know is, like, how does security not notice that this guy is sleeping in this hangar? You know, in this terminal. It's big, yes, okay, but
have a flight delayed, and how fast does that fill up?
Well,
and he's in O'Hare. I mean,
right.
Wow. There's more than 10 people a day there.
Living in the airport for 3 months.
Crazy.
Crazy.
But it might be way better than what he had to go home to.
Well, that's true. That's true. Although he just said he was only scared because of coronavirus. He didn't say he had a bad life at home. It was just, but I don't know.
But everybody buys the coronavirus thing. Look at all the stuff it's done wrong.
By the way, I know. By the way, the guy was 37 years old.
Huh. So he wasn't exactly young.
Wasn't a kid. Wasn't senile. So.
Well, I guess I have to applaud his effort and his ability to survive under those circumstances.
I'm just wondering if it takes 3 months for the Chicago security to figure out that there's a guy living there and he shouldn't be.
I can answer that question.
Missing. What else are they missing?
I can answer that question. And the answer is yes, it does, because he just proved it.
Yes. Well, that's true. I'm just asking.
I just
had a question. That'll do it for Life Matters today. Coming up next, Heidi's got more music for you right here on Lake 96.
We
got
to go make pizza.
You know what? Yes. We're going to make pizza today.
Yes.
Well, you're going to make pizza today. And I don't know if I'm going to make pizza.
Anybody that's hungry right now, it's only $10. Come on out.
Mm-hmm.
And eat some pizza someplace else in Elkhorn.
From 3 to 6, come watch the Packer game.
Yeah, see if Love was worth the draft pick.
Who?
Jordan Love.
That's right. I have a question for next week. Do you know the difference between vaccinated and immunized?
Here we go.
Pizza fundraiser for the Lakes Area FOP Lodge. That's today from 3 till 6 at someplace else up in Elkhorn. You can't miss it. It's catty-cornered from Moy's Chinese Restaurant. Cannot
Correct.
Miss it. Come join us. Watch the Packer game. Have a great time for
it's
a great
a
cause. Find some Christmas presents because they're silent auctions. See?
We got a lot of good stuff there.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, in the meantime, coming up next, Heidi Lee's here with more music right here on Lake 96.1.